The following Wheat Among the Tares program has been pre-recorded. Well, a good Wednesday morning to you, and I want to welcome you to Wheat Among the Tares, our program here from the studios of Gethsemane Global Radio in Lexington, South Carolina. Thank you so much for joining me here this morning. Many of you are so faithful to listen, and I appreciate you doing so. Trust that you will drop us a line. Let us know how this program has been a blessing to you. I have a unique opportunity this morning. I'm going to use that, gentlemen, if you would. I have two gentlemen in the studio with me here this morning, and we are going to be discussing a most terrible, I'm going to use that word, subject that we have to deal with here, and it's the subject of the murder of innocent children. The news media likes to term it the abortion issue, and we all use that interchangeably. But we have in our studio with us this morning, first of all, Brother Mark Baumgartner. He is with A Moment of Hope here, a ministry that is a sidewalk ministry here in Columbia, South Carolina. Mark, welcome to Wheat Among the Tares.
Good morning, Blake.
Good to see you this morning. And also, Brother Eddie Benton. Brother Eddie is the director of Daybreak Life Care Center. Eddie, welcome to Wheat Among the Tares this morning.
Thank you.
Good to have you. Let me take just a moment and let each of you briefly describe your ministries and what you are involved in. Eddie, I'll start with you as far as Daybreak Life Care Center and your ministry as far as in and dealing with this particular issue of the murder of children.
Yep. Daybreak is a commonly referred to as a pregnancy resource center. We have been around for 41 years in Columbia, and we are located geographically right across the parking lot from Planned Parenthood. I like to say we are a pro-gospel ministry, and we're also pro-life, but the emphasis is on the sharing of the gospel. We see women, the vast majority of the women who come to Daybreak are not abortion-minded. In many cases, they're just in circumstances where they need a little help. We got an email even this morning from a lady that's 36 weeks pregnant. She just needs diapers and wipes. And so she'll come and we'll share the gospel with her and hopefully give her some aid. But more than anything, we're there to share the gospel, because a lot of times we see folks that come in, not just financially desperate, they're desperate in their souls.
Amen.
We'll see women who are pregnant for the third or fourth time by as many different fathers. And so we share the hope of the gospel with them. And we do see abortion-minded folks, and for them as well, we want to provide counsel and consultation, but more than anything, share the hope of the gospel.
Amen.
And when we do that and someone comes to faith in Christ, then the whole abortion issue gets taken care of by itself.
That's exactly right. Amen. Brother Mark, we've had you before, and certainly worth reiterating as far as the ministry of A Moment of Hope. Tell us a little bit about your ministry there.
You had mentioned that we are a sidewalk ministry, and we are there in front of the abortion clinic every hour they are open to offer that last minute sign, to be a hope and a help at the last minute before these mothers walk into that, drive in the driveway and walk into that abortion clinic. So like Eddie's ministry, we are a Christian ministry, but in the few seconds that we have to talk to these women, we are trying to talk them off of the ledge, so to speak. Later, we can share the gospel with them with gospel tracts, which we put in each of the gift bags. But we also refer mothers that have changed their mind, all of them, to pregnancy care teams, which are groups of believers in local churches that help these mothers once they are away from the abortion clinic. They can disciple them. They can invite her to church. They can help her with a baby shower. So that's really where we get down to the gospel work.
Amen. Well, and I could see where both you guys are very much linked together. not only juxtaposed as far as physically where you're located, but also spiritually, where, you know, you both are definitely involved primarily in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You change the heart, you can change everything else, and God will do that for sure. Thank you, for first of all, for sharing that with us. And I want to go to a couple of statistics, first of all. Gentlemen, on your sheets in front of you there, a very disturbing stat in my mind, and I'm looking here, this is from a recent poll from the Kaiser Family Foundation, but it says this, a new poll found only 12% of voters say abortion is the most important issue for their vote this year. Now, we know that, and Mark, you mentioned before that the abortion issue is going to be pushed to the side for the most part when it comes to election rhetoric this coming year. What's your take on this as far as, and Mark, I'll start with you first, as far as only 12% of our total populace, or at least a random sampling of our populace, they don't see this as an issue at all, or at least a minor issue, 12%. That's unheard of.
It's ironic because since the overturning of Roe, we have seen more clients on abortion days now since Roe was overturned than we did before. Before Roe, we would see 40 abortion clients a week. Now we're seeing upwards of 50 and 60 clients a week on abortion days, and the abortionist some days is staying longer than he ever did. And so we don't know what's going on, because Planned Parenthood is saying, and they're telling everyone, that with the 6-week ban now, or heart, you know, limit at 6 weeks,
right,
that they've only done a fraction of the number of abortions that they used to, but it doesn't add up to what we're seeing with our own eyes. And so we've asked folks in Columbia's state house to look into this and maybe do some sort of audit, but we would disagree with what these voters are saying, that it's not important, because since Roe, I mean, we thought our job would get a lot easier. It's actually gotten harder.
Wow. That is interesting. Eddie, what's your take on that?
Well, I'm surprised to hear that number, because if you listen to the media, you would believe it was the most important issue facing Americans today, and that's that would be a very troubling reality.
Well, and you know, when we think about this whole situation of the abortion issue, and I'm gonna term it the murder of children, because that's exactly what it is. This whole thing behind how that the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, and we were talking about this before we went on the air, and then now the states have the onus is upon them to handle this on the state level, and it's been all over the board. And we will get to that particular aspect a little later in the broadcast. But again, the very troubling thing is only 12% of our folks, you know, really think that abortion is a viable issue. And to me, you go back to the nation of Israel and how hardened those people became, the Jewish people became, when it came to the matter of their children sacrificing them to Moloch and all these things. And it just kind of, the repercussions today almost looks like our hearts have become even harder and complacent. I think that's the word for it.
Yeah. Well, Blake, I've long since given up the notion that the world is going to see life the way we as followers of the Lord Jesus see it. My bigger concern is how the church sees this issue of abortion. In fact, a statistic that I heard recently, in 2022, in a survey of evangelical Christians, those who would call themselves legitimate followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, only 42% of those people were disturbed by the application of the abortion pill, mifepristone. 42%. So the fact that followers of the Lord Jesus would not be concerned anymore then to that degree is a very, very troubling thing. And we see it, you know, Mark and I, you know, as we have opportunities to speak at different churches, and you see, as a church of the Lord Jesus, we haven't come to the conclusion of what the scriptures have to say very, very clearly. And that is life begins at conception. And so we allow all these sidebar issues to come in. Well, what about rape? What about incest? Well, let's just go back to what we know. Life begins at conception, and life should be protected.
Absolutely.
So I you know, the world doesn't concern me nearly so much as the complacency within the body of Christ about this issue.
Mark, what say you on that?
I think our country is drifting farther and farther away from God's law, from the Ten Commandments, from God's Word, and this is just proof of that. I mean, the fact that nobody's worried about babies being killed, I mean, it's horrendous. It's evil. It's wicked. And yet, it's less. All you're hearing is crickets out there.
Good point. You know, and I think the word, I think I used it a while ago, the complacency that comes in with people who, they hear it so much that it becomes a silent thing after a while. I've heard the story used about construction workers being around heavy equipment that have backup alarms on them. And that backup alarm, if you're first on the site and you hear that beeping sound, you start looking around and you say, you know, where's that piece of equipment? But after a while, and you're there for so long, and then it's just another sound in the background that you really don't pay attention to. And spiritually, I really think, honestly, that's where we have come to here in America. And I'm ashamed to say that. Yeah. I really am. And you guys have still carrying the banner to make sure that our consciences are pricked when it comes to the matter of this. Mark, especially the front line, you know, how that, and I've heard some stories you've shared about just the hardness and the callousness of those of the Planned Parenthood folks on that side of the fence, so to speak, and they are on the other side of the fence, how that they become just so calloused and hardened against that in light of just the fact that they want to have their sin and they don't have to deal with the consequences. Is that not the case?
You know, it's been surprising in the last couple months, the amount of lying coming out of the escorts' mouths. These are the ladies or volunteers that stand at and try to disrupt our conversations with the mothers coming. They're very effective at the jumping in between us. They'll put a sign between us. They'll have a yard sign they're holding up. They'll slide it between us. And recently, every statement they make is the exact opposite of the truth. And I started thinking to myself, they are speaking the language, the native language of their father, the devil.
Yep. Sanctuary cities, we're going to change just a second here, and then we're going to press on very quickly. Sanctuary cities are something that come about in the last several years. The note here, and I have in front of the 68th city in Midlothian, Texas. They're the 68th sanctuary city here in America, where it is a sanctuary for the unborn and no abortion clinics, nothing allowed within the city limit confines of those towns. Wonderful situation. I'm sure that probably some of them have already come under fire because, you know, litigiously wise because of that. You know, I'd love to see some initiatives here, and even in our state of South Carolina, and others are listening from other states as well. That is something that, and if you're listening in, you know, Texas, or if you're listening in Oregon, wherever you're listening, certainly something that you could grab a hold of the horn, so to speak, and try to push that with your town councils, your even state legislators, that type of thing. Christians need to be involved. And if they don't, then unfortunately we get what we don't ask for. And I know both of you encouraged that. Let me, Eddie, first of all, as far as your thoughts on Christians getting involved with, you know, something like this or other matters of critical moral importance. What think ye on that?
Well, I think the reason we are where we are is because Christians have remained silent. I mean, even the pro-life movement actually didn't get a full head of steam until around 1982, 1983, a full decade after Roe versus Wade became the law of the land, as it were. And so there's a guy that, named David Kapelian, that wrote a book about 14, 15 years ago called The Marketing of Evil. And in the book, Mr. Kapelian takes a number of cultural issues and he shows how those who are opposed to the gospel have used a very shrewd marketing technique and to win their way. And in the case of the abortion, the folks that were pro-abortion admitted that they used some outrageous techniques. They would just say something that was absurd. And the first time you heard it, you said, well, that's craziness. And then the second time, it's still crazy, but not quite as crazy as the first. But it was just, it was overwhelming, overwhelming, overwhelming until you finally just succumb to it. And I think in large part, that's what we've done as the church. And, you know, Christians who say, well, you know, the those kinds of efforts, they're good for the Mark Baumgartners and the Daybreaks of the world. But, you know, for the average Christian, we just sort of stay above that. No, you cannot stay above that. This is life. And you have to be involved in that fight. You have to find, my encouragement is to more Christians, find your spot in this issue. This is an incredibly important issue.
Absolutely. Mark?
Well said, Eddie. I don't have much to add to that other than, you know, upstate in South Carolina, I know there's been initiatives for these sanctuary cities or attempts to rally people. I know the county council in Greenville is considering a nuisance ordinance against the abortion clinic. And so that would be great if they could pass that. I know in Richland County here in Columbia, when a nightclub has a shooting and it's a pattern, they'll shut it down as a nuisance. And so up in Greenville, where they have these violent pro-abortion escorts that are assaulting people and doing all kinds of crazy stuff, they're getting tired of it, and they're actually entertaining a nuisance to revoke a nuisance motion to revoke the license of the abortion facility in Greenville.
Wow, that's an interesting take on that for sure. If you're just joining us, we're talking with Mark Baumgartner, a director of A Moment of Hope here in Columbia, South Carolina, and Brother Eddie Benton. He is the director of Daybreak Life Care Center here in Columbia as well. We're talking about the most important issue of at least in our time, other than the fact of the gospel reaching hearts. And I don't want to negate that by any stretch of imagination, but we're talking about the killing of innocent children, and both these men are on the front line of trying to win hearts, prevent deaths. And they're both heavily involved in this. And by the way, I do want to mention that at the end of the program, we always take a moment to pray. And I want you to be thinking already, if you're listening, about how to better pray and how to pray specifically for these two ministries, because these men, I know, covet your prayers concerning that. And every day is a battle. Every day, wisdom is needed. And to reach out to the Lord, first of all, but knowing that there are also people supporting you in prayer is very, very important. At least, in my mind, I would think so. And I know you guys agree with that. Let's go to the Florida Supreme Court back April 1st of this year, which is very recent. Tallahassee, they issued a ground, and I'm reading a release here. A groundbreaking opinion that upholds the 15-week abortion ban and overrules the prior abortion opinions going back to the first abortion opinion in 1989. So that kind of wiped out a lot of case law that a lot of these abortionists want to utilize. And in the doing so, the court ruled that there is no right to an abortion in the Florida Constitution. Now that the 15-week ban has been upheld, the 6-week ban will soon go into effect, which it should. It should caveat right there. How many times have we heard through the news media and people, and you know, women, quote, have the right to an abortion? There, nobody has the right to kill anybody. I don't care who it is. Mark, I'll start with you on that one. I know you've probably heard it 10,000 times if once. What do you think about this particular situation in Florida?
I think it's great news. In fact, I got my start in sidewalk counseling in Orlando in front of one of the notorious abortionists. Pendergraf is his name, and he's had his license removed. They caught him in a mobile trailer doing abortions after that illegally. And so I'm really happy to see this, and thankful that the 6-week ban will go into effect. I am a little worried they're planning on trying to get it in the state constitution. I think they need to get a 60% yes vote to get abortion added as a right, and that seems to be a trend that's sweeping our country. So I am a little worried about that, and it is something we could be praying about.
Absolutely. Eddie, what about you?
Well, I to somewhat echo what Mark said, recently the nation of France wrote into their constitution a constitutional right to abortion. And unfortunately, as Europe has gone in recent years, so goes the U.S. in many respects. And we see our law, our national law, following the European model far too frequently. It is just an astounding thing, the movement towards self-autonomy. Of course, I'm reminded, I'm a proud child of South Carolina. We are the state that fired on Fort Sumter. So states' rights and individual rights is important. But you know, my mother and I had a completely different composition. My blood type was different than hers. When I was in her womb, I wasn't just an extension of her. I was a separate human being.
Yes, you were.
And that is the case in every single pregnancy. And so for one individual to exert in the name of their own personal autonomy, the privilege, and I say that in real big quotation marks, the privilege of taking that other person's life, it's just astounding to me that we've become a nation that seems so indifferent about that. And somehow imagining that having a baby, becoming pregnant and then carrying that baby to term is a violation of a person's self-autonomy. It's incredible.
But unfortunately, spiritually, that is exactly where we are today. Yep. With a lot of people. And, you know, and I said at the outset, it's a shame we even have to talk about these things like this, but it is in, you read your Bible, it's in Israel's history. You go down through the ages, and it has just been a continuing situation spiritually with people. And if you look back how absolutely Satan moved against Israel to kill their children, to offer them to other gods, all you have to do today is just change the names. But it's the same identical thing that's going on. And unfortunately, many people have bought into the lie that that is their right. And it is no right whatsoever. Praise God that Florida got it right with this. And I trust, and again, gentlemen, if you look here, there are other, and Mark, you mentioned this to you on the 2024 ballot at the end of this year. There are a number of states that are trying to put this on their ballots as far as having people try to amend their state constitutions. And I'm reading on the back sheet here, if you'll flip it over there, citizens and state legislatures in legislators rather than other states are turning to their own state constitutions to decide the issue. This year, at least 13 states have citizen-led or legislative efforts underway to amend their state constitutions regarding abortion. Now, you mentioned this a while ago, Mark, and you said you were concerned about this. A number of states are Arizona, Arkansas, Maine, Missouri, just to name a few, Nebraska, South Dakota. A lot of these states are attempting to put this on a ballot so people can have a voice. In Florida alone, and I just read this, the way they have worded the verbiage for the ballot and how people will, you know, they'll read this thing, it's misleading. And even the Florida State Supreme Court even stipulated that it was written in such a way that it was very confusing. That in and of itself, and I'm going to use the word landmine, that is the landmine that's been laid. And if people don't do their proper homework when it comes to literally understanding what they are voting on, a lot of people will just kind of get swept up in the vote no, vote yes thing, and they really don't know what they're looking at or voting for. Mark, what do you see with regard to that? And we've seen some similar things here in South Carolina even.
Yes, you have to really educate yourself on these things. When Ohio was considering this a few weeks ago, and I read the verbiage, like you said, it was very, had I not been in the role that I'm in and read that just as an ordinary citizen, I would have been, of course I want this right not taken away. But it was couched in a way that, you know, it wasn't said like it really is, which,
right.
Do you want the right to murder babies in your state constitution?
And you mentioned it yourself a while ago that when, you know, the sidewalk counselors come in and they try to stick something between you and they are saying the complete opposite of what you're saying on the other side, that's what they're doing. As you said, they're couching verbiage in there that really doesn't fully stipulate what they're really trying to say, and they that's been going on since the garden in Genesis 3, yea hath God said, and it's been a lie that's propagating. Go ahead, Eddie.
Yeah, it's well, unfortunately, we are also fighting against roughly 75 years of our public education system teaching children that they are the center of the universe and that your personal autonomy is more important than anything else. And so anything that challenges that autonomy is going to raise the hackles for most people. And that's the thing that, you know, I don't know. I'm reminded that, you know, if you look at the story of Israel and Moses in his presentation in front of Pharaoh, the first two curses, and they were curses, they weren't blessings. The first two curses, Pharaoh had his magicians replicate them. Now, I could understand replicating a blessing or something good, but why would you double down on a curse? It's so that you can say, this wasn't God, I can do this. And so that's what we have. We have a culture that says, this is my body, I can do this. And we've thrown the morality out the window in favor of the personal autonomy.
And again, you mentioned earlier, it's not just the general populace that we're concerned about that for sure. But the churches here in America that even name the name of the Lord, they're the ones that have become more and more complacent with this thing and have actually been swept up in this whole doctrine, if I could use that word, of, you know, I have a right to my own autonomy, as you said. I read in my Bible where I'm bought with a price, and that's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I have no right to myself. And if a person's truly a Christian, they're going to acknowledge that ownership and not their own selves. Well put, both of you. Thank you. We're going to take a moment to pray here. We've come to the bottom of the hour, and by the time flies very, very quickly. We're going to take a moment to pray for both these ministries here and certainly for what's going on as far as these states their legislatures, and this vote these votes coming up in November, that the Lord would certainly give mercy to our country. Let's take a moment to pray, if we would. Father, thank you so much for, again, the opportunity to discuss these things. And Lord, I pray that these won't be just words, but they will be words that will resonate not only in our hearts, but the hearts of our listeners, that it may motivate them to seriously pray for our country, for Lord, for these ministries that we've made mention here, A Moment of Hope, and Lord, also for Daybreak Life Center. And I certainly pray that you give both Brother Mark and Brother Eddie wisdom concerning these. Lord, I know that just the pressures that are on them. And Lord, I know that, Lord, you can strengthen them day by day. And I ask you to do that. And I pray, Lord, for our country. I pray, Lord, for our state legislatures that have such a responsibility to do the right thing. And God help them. I pray to do that which is righteous and true. And for, Lord, the election this year, certainly, Lord, there are so many things that are up in the air. I pray that in your mercies that, Lord, that you would help us as only you can. Thank you again, Lord, for your love for us. Thank you, Lord, for your care. And thank you for the fact that you answer prayer. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I give you thanks. Amen.
Amen.
Mark Bumgardner, A Moment of Hope. Brother Eddie Benton, Daybreak Life Care Center. Been a blessing to have both of y'all here this morning. And I trust that that this has been a blessing to you to be able to share what your thoughts are in your ministries. And thank you so much for your insight on these things. I really do appreciate that. And I want to thank you for joining us this morning here for Wheat Among the Tares. We're here every Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Trust that you'll pray for us here, and have a wonderful day in the Lord.